That's the bell. Class is back in session. Welcome to the Fandalorian Podcast, Teachers by Day, Nerds by Night, a special emergency X-Men 97 Episode 5 Breakdown Podcast. We are proud part of the Unfiltered Studios Podcasting Network. This is the number one public school teacher pop culture fandom podcast in the country. I'm Mr. Richardson, Mr. McDonald's here, Mr. G is here, and Man of a Thousand Shows, Eddie, is here as well. A part one of a two-part thing, right, Eddie? Because you guys are doing Invincible when we're done with this?
That is correct.
Eddie's just putting in animation work. All right, guys, listen. We're here to talk about X-Men 97. We're doing an emergency podcast because what we saw was crazy. For those of you who don't know, we're teachers, background information. X-Men 97, if you don't know, is a revival of the original animated series. Continues where the story left off. Professor X is gone. Magneto's in charge. This series is the first X-Men project that Marvel Studios has taken on since regaining the X-Men back. The first two episodes came out March 20th. 4 million people viewed it worldwide in its first 5 days. It's been a hit. We're going to talk a little bit about it so far, specifically about episode 5, which just came out recently. If you haven't seen it, you need to stop listening to the podcast. If you're one of these people who said, I'll just wait for them all to be there, you're making a mistake. You need to go back and watch everything so far, then come back and listen because we want your ratings. But go away. But we're going to spoil this in 3, 2, 1. Listen, the first few episodes, we saw some crazy stuff. You got Jean pregnant. We got a clone. Storm lost her powers. Bishop went to the future with Scott and the clone's kid. Magneto's in charge. He had a relationship with Rogue. Cyclops is cool. A lot's happened. Then we hit episode 5. Quick recap before we dig into it, what we thought about it. Came out Wednesday, April 10th. And it shook us all, honestly, because they had a powerful wild sentinel. That's what they called it in the comics, that launched a devastating attack on Genosha. For those who don't follow it, Genosha is an island where mutants tend to live peacefully, have their own society. And in the series so far, there was a fragile peace between the mutants and the humans, and Genosha was going to be accepted into the UN. That's where they were going.
Well, hold on, Mr. Richardson. Let's not sugarcoat it. We watched a genocide.
It was bad. It was really bad. Despite Cable showing up to kind of warn people, it didn't matter. We had major X-Men characters' deaths. During the attack, a group of Morlocks people, mutants who were there, Tommy and Leech, who I love, were in grave danger from this Sentinel, and Magneto steps in to try to prevent it. The Sentinel detects an omega level threat warning when it has like a super mutant, did the same for Storm. Magneto made this shield of metal to try and save them, and he got overwhelmed. Literally told the kid in German, don't be afraid, and he's gone. And if that wasn't enough, right after Rogue lost one of her love interests, they just go back to back when, I guess, Rage, you know, driven by Rage or whatever, Gambit has this little solo assault against the Sentinel because he thought Rogue was in danger. And it's Gambit. He bets and lost, got stabbed through the side, but before he died, he charged up the giant robot, remember me, and then he dies. So now Rogue lost both of them in one episode. She is mourning the death of Gambit, holding his body, touch skin to skin. No, there's no effect. You know, and that was the episode. We can also throw in the fact that Jean kissed Logan and Scott's having an affair with his clone psychically. There's a lot. Just, you know, oh, I almost forgot about that stuff towards the end, but there's a lot.
Yeah, nobody cares about B-plot when you've got, you know, mutant massacres.
I thought that was the A-plot to it. McDonald, we'll go you first because you watched it earlier because you take the train. In the morning.
You know why I watched it earlier? I had off the entire day for Eid.
That's right. So what'd you think?
All right. So what I ended up doing is I actually watched episode 4 and episode 5 back to back. I just didn't get around to watching episode 4. And I don't know if you guys remember, episode 4 was not that good.
Now,
it's an understatement.
I disagree. I liked episode 4 a lot.
This was my problem with episode 4. Is I don't understand why it was two episodes.
Yeah, it was two 15-minute episodes.
I didn't understand it. And it's a part one, which
yeah.
I thought this episode 5 was the part 2, but it's right. Not.
No. And it was an odd choice, but I'm just saying episode 4 was it wasn't even like a table setter for episode 5 either.
No.
It was, for those who don't remember, the first part was
the video game.
Motendo. Yeah, it was
horrible.
Was it Sunspot and Jubilee going into the video game, getting Jumanji'd, so to speak? And, you know, they did, what was that? Mojo World. Yeah. And it was fine. And then the second part was Storm and Forge. And the only thing that was interesting is you found out that Forge was the one responsible for the technology that took Storm's powers away. And you're like, all right, cool. And then all of a sudden they dropped episode 5. Even episode 5, you know, you're like, it's a cartoon, it's a kid's show. And it's not until the last 5 minutes of that show that this is not a kid's show.
It's 24 minutes.
It's actually 8 minutes, Cup.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's like 24 minutes in or something.
Yeah, 24:40 is when the explosion happens.
And
then for the next 8 minutes.
Yes, it was just absolute carnage. Now, I got to shout out the guy whose the name of the episode was about him. It was Gambit. And I don't know why they've never gotten him right in live action. He was always a cool character in the 90s TV show. And this one, you know, you're like, I get it. You know, we all make fun of the accent and whatever. But the way that they've been using his powers in this reboot, I mean, remember when they first started, he charged up Wolverine's claws. That was cool. And this one, when he's driving the motorcycle and he charges the motorcycle and it blows up the Sentinel. And then lastly, he gets stabbed and his dying decision is to charge that to kill the super mega Sentinel. And you're like, holy moly. I've never even thought of anyone doing that. It was so creative. It was so clever. We're used to it that, you know, the old saying used to be nobody stays dead except for Bucky and Uncle Ben, but now it's just Uncle Ben. And so I'm sure they're going to kind maybe come up with some way that it will happen.
Oh, God.
But did you guys notice the Easter egg in the middle of the episode? There is a huge Easter egg.
No.
Right before the bomb explodes, if you look in the sky, you see the Watcher.
I didn't pay attention to that.
Yeah, no, because I saw it, and then I went on the internet immediately. But I just thought that was really cool. But I mean, this has given me something that I would never expect from animation. I'm so pleasantly surprised. The last time I was this surprised was honestly by Blue Eyed Samurai. The storytelling, the animation, just the creativity. I can't say enough, guys. If you're not watching this by now, stop what you're doing. Watch the episode, come back, and then listen to us finish talking.
So they get to listen to you and then leave? I feel like that's unfair to us.
Absolutely. Actually, you know what? Just stop it right now. No one else is here. It's just me and you. Listen to the dulcet tones of my voice.
Eddie, what happened on episode 3? You were going to say?
Oh, I was going to say Gambit charged up Bishop, and that's how they killed everything at the end of episode 3 was how Gambit did that.
So the moral of the story is, what are they going to do now that Gambit's dead?
Or is he? I still don't think he is.
Or is it wink, wink?
No, Gambit, I think, had to die in it. Right. I think Gambit is dead. Now, Magneto, I don't think Magneto's dead.
He can't be.
I have a way that they can kind of make him alive. Because if you remember, they shoot that whole area, and then the Sentinels say, there's no, the Omega Mutant has been eliminated. What I think happened is he told Leech to take it, like to steal his powers. So they were gone. So the Sentinel had nothing to like lock on.
I'm going to say they're completely dead only because they died in the most dramatic way. To undo that cool of a death would be so cheesy. You have a building fall. Even then, you have a building fall on top of them and you don't really see anything. It's like, all right, well, you know, they might get out of that. For him to like say a dying word to the kid and watch the children of him die, and then Gambit to sacrifice himself to save Rogue
and have his die, flashback too,
and have and die in a dramatic fashion. You can't undo that and be like, "Well, surprise, they're still alive." Yeah, if you do it that big, you can't just undo it. You know, it's like bringing Tony Stark back right now.
But then again, Professor X is dead,
but he didn't die dramatically. He's just in space. Like they in the last episode, he went to space and they just said he was dead because he's not coming back because he was sick. But that didn't.
So who's go out in the X-Men right now?
I don't know now. Probably Cyclops again. Yeah. She's out of the game. When Nightcrawler went down early and then we checked his pulse and he was alive, I'm a big wrestling fan. There's nothing like a swerve to convince me that he was alive. Because for a second, I'm like, oh my God, did they bring Nightcrawler back to him? They're not going to kill anyone on the show. Oh, he's just injured. Okay, it's fine. And then I was like, all right, well, they're not killing people. This isn't that kind of show. And then they came out and just ripped these people apart. They killed Magneto. And then when you think they're done, they kill Gambit. And Gambit was a fan favorite. I mean, he was the biggest part of that cartoon next to Wolverine in the 90s.
No, Gambit, he was bigger than everywhere. Wolverine. Wolverine is such a small part of this cartoon because he wasn't.
No. I'm talking about in the 90s, not now.
No, I would argue that Gambit was probably the most biggest breakout hit of that 90s cartoon.
No, it was Wolverine. I disagree. But it doesn't matter. Either way, they're both there. They're both at a point. They had spinoffs of the whole big thing. And for him to die too, it was just tragic. I love the fact that this show has not, speaking of Wolverine, done anything with Wolverine. Nothing makes me happier that this isn't Wolverine and the X-Men. And what this episode told me is that, oh, we're going to get a Wolverine Slaughterhouse episode, and I can't wait for it because he's done nothing really but just sit around and kiss Jean.
So he's like the kung fu master that waits for everyone else to fight?
They've built every character up. They made Cyclops cool. They haven't touched him yet. That's my biggest thought on this. And the other thing that I would say about this episode, no one can ever say, and I've always fought against this when someone has said it on the podcast, McDonald, superhero fatigue. It's not a real thing. It's never been a real thing. There's no sports fatigue. There's no action movie fatigue. There's no comedy fatigue. It comes down to one thing. And I've said it every time. It's called good writing, good storytelling. Anyone will watch anything. You do good writing, good storytelling, good characters, we'll enjoy it all. No one has fatigue with The Boys. No one has fatigue with Invincible, as you guys are going to talk about in the next episode. No one, this is great. Everyone loves it. You just write a good story.
No, and that's not true.
And the movies are, it is 100%.
No, there is superhero fatigue for bad superhero movies.
That's called bad writing. If you make a good movie, people like it. If you don't make a good movie, people go, oh my God, it's fatigue.
No, but because the only pushback writing I'll give is even the mid Marvel movies, we're still making $1 billion at its peak because people were so wrapped in it. Now people are just, you're giving good stories. And the only problem is it's hard to do that.
But everyone's watching all this. So clearly it's a good story.
These are great stories.
What are your thoughts?
Let Eddie go first.
I loved it. I knew something had happened when during the middle of the day, I get a text from Jimmy to say, did you watch it yet?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm at work.
I'm like,
aren't you at work?
It's trickle down because I texted both of them saying, holy moly, right, watch
here's
this.
The story. Eddie, I'll let you go in a second. Let me just say this part, though, since you brought it up. He texts us first. I'm watching during the test. And immediately after it's over, I text Brandon, friend of the show. I go online. I reach out to Robin Lundberg, friend of the show, and Eddie in the same minute. Robin responds on Twitter. He's like, no, I got to watch it. I'm like, do it right now. Brandon's like, I'm on my way home. You know, I was almost quit my job, but Eddie, keep going. Yeah, you're so right.
That's how I knew it was important. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go home and watch it. I got to watch it because I got to be honest. I wasn't thrilled with episode four. So I'm like, all right. What happened from episode four that was like, oh my God, didn't know, you know, now I'm watching it. I'm like, okay. You know, is he talking about the kiss? Is he talking as I slowly stroll through this episode? Cause I got to be honest with the text. I'm like, all right, well, what am I waiting for? Where is this greatness that I was waiting for? And I'm like, okay, you know, I kept like checking. I'm like, how far in? Is this a long episode? Am I missing something? You know, and I'm like, where is the magic? You know, we get the whole Magneto Rogue thing, you know, going on. Are they going to be king and queen or
Cyclops
whatever they
affair,
are?
You know,
yeah, exactly. Cyclops. It goes back to, you know, men are not allowed to be happy. He was caught. he was caught psychologically with another woman. I don't know.
Does it count as cheating?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
That part.
Let me tell you, it's always cheating. It doesn't matter.
I know.
It's always cheating. So, I'm like, okay, all right, here we go. It's all playful. As soon as I saw how excited and how playful everybody was, I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it's coming.
You know it's coming. And then at 24 minutes and 40 seconds in, it was on. I'm like, oh my God. And it started. And it was great. It was great. The way like as Cut was saying earlier, to, you know, what Gambit was able to do. But Gambit, when he lit up that motorcycle, saved Rogue. Rogue was about to die. She was about out. She was mad. She was going in for it. And then he sacrificed himself. I can't believe he's gone.
Too good a death to reverse that.
I understand, but took one for the team, quite literally. Saved Rogue. Like if you were to say to me, what's going to happen moving forward real quick, I'm going to say, I would have said, Rogue is going to be so mad at Gambit because it was her that was going for it. And he knocked her off and then sacrificed himself. So it's crazy. It was so good. But I got to be honest, episode 3 had me from the beginning. I felt that was more of an action-packed episode. You know, again, the carnage that happened in 8 minutes, yes. But episode 3 with Mr. Sinister, everything that was going on, there was a lot more going on, I felt, in that episode.
Yeah, that episode was more emotional driven, especially with the affair and this and the baby and the whole thing. I like the low.
Well, I think they did that on purpose. You're right, Mr. Richardson.
Like Buffy. The Buffy would have a goofy, funny episode. The next episode.
And you knew the next one was going to make you cry.
Yeah, because you didn't need episode 4.
Now,
I lower you down. Go ahead, Charles.
I liked episode 4 because I loved that X-Men video game.
I did too. See, I kind
of liked it. So I loved it. But I understand, Eddie, where you're coming from, because to me, I'm like, this is a filler episode 100%. That's why it was like a two-parter. They're like, oh, we have this fun idea, and they did it that way. It totally reminded me of the in Teen Titans Go when they did that episode when the night begins to shine. The way Jubilee was dressed reminded me of how Cyborg is dressed in that episode of Teen Titans.
The spikes, Go. Yeah,
I thought it was great. But
I mean, here's my problem though. There's only 10 episodes. Give me a filler episode.
No, it's not filler. They expanded on Jubilee and they expanded on what Storm and Forge are going to. That's called character development. You call it filler.
I'm
going to
give you I'm saying it seemed like filler episode. I thought it was great. I liked the Motendo episode just because I thought it was really cool the way they did it. So I'm with Eddie on this one. Like, Wee Willie Winky came running through my cell phone up the downtown all around. How great it was. So I was like, all right. So I'm like, all right, I got to watch this. I started watching it and I'm like, all right. When is it going to happen? When is it going to like, and the whole time, Eddie, I'm thinking the same exact thing. I'm like, am I missing something? And like, is this like really like somewhere that's like, I'm not getting it. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then when they did Magneto and Rogue were dancing, that little moment reminded me in Ready Player One when they went to the club, the nightclub, and it was like spinning around and I was like, oh, that's totally that. And then the whole thing with Forge happened. No, Cable showed up. Yes. And he was like, creepy. Sorry, Mom. So like, I think he's doing that whole, like, he knew that was happening. So he's trying to come back to save it, but it was too late and got sucked back. So that's going to be more of the story in there. But then it happened. Because you kind of see the explosions going off in the background. So you're like, I'm like, that's not a firework.
Yeah.
And then that minute, it's, hold on, I wrote it down. At 24:40. Is when the blast comes through the screen and it goes black and it's like slow motion sound. And at that point, I wasn't a fan of the animation style. I had said when we talked about it earlier of this new X-Men 97, I like the original drawings better. But at that moment, the animation and the music, I don't know if it's filmography, however they want to do the cinematography of a cartoon, was absolutely amazing. The way they did the sound, because there was moments where there was no sound. There was no soundtrack in the background. And all you heard was the actual like sounds of stuff. Like, you heard a footprint. You heard this move. You heard a breath. And then it was like that concussive, like, you can't hear anything moment. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And then when the giant head came through and started blasting, the way they animated that whole 8-minute sequence was absolutely, Pat, like you were saying before, was amazing. Between the sound, the style, the soundtrack that they put over it and had it on and had it off, and it was just absolutely the greatest thing I've seen in a long time. And I messaged you guys and I said, I have to go watch the Azula and Zuko fight at the end just to see, because to me that is like an absolute masterpiece moment in animation. I still like the Avatar one better, but it was absolutely amazing. Like the sound, the music, and just at key moments, like when Gambit, when they were like, oh, the X-Men, when the Morlocks were down in the sewer and Leech and the rainbowy looking girl said, oh, the rainbow girl says, the X-Men don't care about us. And then you see the head shadow coming through. And then all of a sudden Gambit comes crashing through with the X-Men theme music going on. It was like superb. Everything was down awesomely. You could see like Magneto had the control and then he like just has his two hands this way and it goes like that, shifts his hand very slightly. And that's when they wrapped up Rogue and Gambit and protected him. And that whole thing, the flashbacks, every part of that sequence was absolutely amazing.
Wait, you forgot the best part when Magneto uses a train as like a whip and hits the Sentinel. And you're like, Jesus, man, this is unbelievable.
Which is why I don't think he's dead, man. He showed so much power. And not only power, but control. There was a lot going on at that moment.
Out of the two of them,
an Omega-level mutant.
We didn't see the body, so you know, I'll give
that's
you that.
That's what I was saying. There was no body.
Out of both of them, I would assume Gambit's completely gone, but I can see that.
Gambit is 100% dead. Well, we didn't see the body.
The one thing that I never, and I've read comics, my X-Men comics my whole life, I've watched the cartoons, blah, blah, blah. I was never scared of the Sentinels. Like, it was always like a giant robot that's basically nameless things that they would destroy rather easily in the cartoons.
Yeah, well, Marie the cartoon, because you couldn't kill a human, but you could kill a Sentinel.
But even in the comics, they weren't like, oh, the Sentinels are attacking, and it would be light work. This is the first time I've ever seen them in a edition like, yo, those things are scary.
Oh, they vaporized like, those things a couple are of
ridiculous. Because they never were like this in the comics. The worst I saw were the versions, the advanced versions in that one X-Men movie where it was set in the future. Nimrod and a couple of them, that thing was annihilating them. And I was like, oh, wow, you can't stop those. Like, those are a little bit different. So that's one thing. So listen, guys, I got a quote from the creator of the show. Bo DeMeo, there's still some talk about why he exited the series. A couple things, we won't get into it. But he did break his silence to talk specifically about this episode. I'm just going to read you what he released this afternoon. Okay, DeMeo, who previously worked on Moon Knight and The Witcher, wrote a lengthy post on social media to discuss this. He goes, episode 5 was the centerpiece of my pitch to Marvel in November 2020. The idea being to have the X-Men mirror the journey that any of us who grew up with the original show had experienced since being kids in the 90s. The world was seemingly a safer place for us. During the original series, where a character like Storm would comment on how skin color, skin-based racism was quaint in One Man's Worth, which is a season 4 episode way back when. For the most part, to our young minds, the world was a simple place, right and wrong, where questions about identity and social justice were relatively clear-cut answers. However, he noted, this shifted after September 11th. Things weren't so safe anymore. Grassroots populist movements began to rise around the world as a whole nation struggled to deal with trauma and fracture at the seams of every diverse group. The effects can still be felt today and have only been built up more because of trauma like COVID and several other recessions. So he said he wanted an episode which ends with a harrowing attack on Mutant Haven Genosha that kills Gambit and Magneto to reflect the pain of real life attacks on safe spaces. He goes, yes, it looked like Gambit's story was going a specific direction. He said the crop top was chosen to make you love him. Him pulling off his shirt was intentional. There's a reason he told Rogue any fool would suffer her hand in the dance, even if it ended up not being him suffering. But in events like 9/11, Tulsa, Charlottesville, and the Pulse nightclub teaches us anything, it's that too many stories are cut short. And that's what I wanted to do in this episode. I partied at the Pulse Club. I went to that club and had great memories there, and many people were murdered in that club. So I wanted Genosha, which was a safe place to me and to the mutants. I thought about this a lot when crafting this episode and how, just like that, your world can change. Like many of us who grew up on the original cartoon, the X-Men have now been hit hard by the realities of an adult and unsafe world. Life has happened to them. They have lost people. And they, like we did, will have to decide which parts of themselves they will cling to and which parts they'll let go in order to do what they've been telling humanity to do. Face an uncertain future that they never saw coming. And finally, he said, as Trask told Cyclops in the premiere, you have no idea what it's like to be left behind by the future. Now the X-Men do. And like each of us, they have to weigh whether it's time for social justice or, like Magneto preached, social healing. That was his comment. Those are some strong words, though. He really took it to a place which makes sense.
Yeah, I'm curious. It's, you know, how they often talk about in a PG-13 movie, they're allowed one F-bomb. I was like, if there needed to be an F-bomb in here, it would have been that scene when they cut away to, like, Beast and Logan and them sitting, watching the TV, the newscast. And Beast said something, but I'm like, it's where the F-bomb should have been put in.
Crazy.
Wait, hold on. Like, can we make this a new segment when we do our post-observation reviews? Where would you put the one F-bomb?
Well, it's not always, you know, it doesn't always.
Where would the naughty word go?
Yes.
But that's where it would have gone.
It's called the potty mouth section.
The way that episode ended with just the black screen, but still
and her talking
was like
crazy.
Like I said, that 8-minute sequence was absolutely amazing.
I mean, I haven't followed X-Men comics in probably 15, 20 years at this point. So I have no idea where they're going to go with this afterwards.
Can I ask you a question, random? So this it's not Snow Queen, Winter White Witch. The White Witch, she was on the council? Queen. The White Queen. Yeah. I just remember her from my Hero Clicks. Who was the guy?
Sebastian Shaw.
Like out of like colonial times?
The Hellfire Club. Remember the Hellfire Club?
That was in the original X-Men run.
It's basically a group of mutants who have like an elite society. They're rich. They have money backing them and they only let certain people in. They drink their wine and they're like.
It's like the Illuminati of.
Right.
Mutants. He's like that meme where you have those like Victorian guys sitting on top of the thing, like looking down at everyone. He's like dressed exactly like that guy.
They were in the original series too, but they're, but then Genosha was set up towards the end where, you know, all mutants have a haven. Magneto set it up, and that's where they were all there at the time. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
I'm just worried the next episode is going to be just a storm. Like, it's going to be such a letdown.
It's that hard left turn. Yeah.
It's going to be that part two of that story.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got to be them dealing with it. You can't, like, skip past the aftermath.
Episode 6 is titled Life Death Part 2. No, it's going to be Storm.
That's the Storm story.
Then, ready? Here are the episode titles. Episode 7, Bright Eyes. Then episodes 8, 9, and 10, Tolerance is Extinction, parts 1, 2, and 3.
I think that's when the response to this episode is going to happen. Because they got to bring back Cable. He's got to come back.
But at this point, every mutant is going to be like, no, screw those humans. We were right.
And Cyclops was already flipping out during the interview.
He already started. Mad.
Yes.
He was pulling the quote-unquote you people.
Yeah, yes. He was mad, and now it's just look what you, and then it's finding out, you know, who's responsible for this because they blame the government. Everyone's dead. It's pretty wild, and Wolverine's going to kill a lot of people. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that should happen definitely for sure. But I want to say, Jimmy, you were talking about in the very beginning. You mentioned the timeline. I think they said it was like 3 months later. There was a lot of time passed from the last we saw Magneto taking over. To that point when Genosha, like from the
to trial, right?
It's the trial to that part, it's more than just like the next day. Yeah. It was like
it's got to be
months.
A while.
There was some time in there
to get Genosha to the point where it's going to join the UN. It has to be like a significant amount of time. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, can I just tell you things going back to episode 4? This is my hot take. I don't really like Jubilee. I mean,
she's a kid.
I think that's why I like this episode. Well, she's 18 now, by the way. No, she's not a child. No, but I think that's
my 18 year old's living off of me.
I know. But I'm just saying, I think that's why I like this episode so much. Is there was no Jubilee in it.
Yeah, oh. I'm always a fan of Jubilee because she's a kid. This is how she's supposed to act. She's
I know she's our eyes, but now you know what? Now we've got Sunspot. Move aside, Jubilee, with your stupid fireworks.
I don't like Sunspot. He's annoying.
I Jubilee think is fine. You're more upset with episode four the way they portrayed Jubilee in the episode.
Yeah, I mean, but she what are her powers? She got fireworks.
She is great at a rave.
Yeah.
She was dancing and it was like, but I think
Jubilee
she's
gonna have her moment and tear people apart.
I think she's gonna she's gonna level up.
She goes, watch out people, I'm gonna spark some fireworks.
They have her
fingers.
Just being like a kid because no one's seeing this coming.
She's gotta grow up.
She's just a kid, she's immature, whatever. This event is going to make her grow up.
So this is the zag.
This is going to be the badass that she's going to turn into. I guarantee.
Well, then if that happens, I'll take it back. But for now, you know what? If I'm in a dark room, maybe I need Jubilee's powers.
In the comics, she becomes a vampire, honestly, with the powers.
Wait, what?
It's a long story. We'll get that to another podcast, guys.
Yeah.
All right. So
But when he was talking to Jubilee there, you know, we remember during the interview with the reporter, she said, you know, we do the vampire stuff. There's a little foreshadowing. Foreshadowing there, huh?
She ends up having to deal with Blade. That's like a whole
nonsense. Oh, I was just going to say, did she get it from Blade?
No, she ends up, I can't remember how the comic went, but she got attacked. They have a comic line where vampires make their run and they kind of stop the sun so they can move through Earth. It's like a whole thing. But in the process, she gets bit and she gets turned. And she still has her powers, but she's also was part vampire. It was a whole trippy thing, and I think it's still going. But
just fireworks.
Maybe they'll go that way.
Go out during the day. Still sounds pretty lame.
Is she cooler than Morbius?
Not Morbius. It has issues with Blade, but Blade doesn't kill her. It's like
she's still a good guy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No, I said is she cooler than Morbius?
Yeah.
Well, the movie obviously
because she's dangerous. She's a mutant vampire that hasn't been done. It was a twist. She also had a kid too, but you know, again, we have more stuff. We have more stuff. I don't think they'll get to having.
We'll
baby,
save though. That for season two. Yeah, I think they'll get to having.
She grew
will
up.
Season
in the
two be
a
called X-Men 98.
I don't know.
That would actually. Stuff. Well, it depends how much time passes.
Yeah.
If it is a year.
Every season, X-Men 98, 99, X-Men 2K.
Well, you think you think Bishop would eventually fix his bracelet and be able to kind of, you know.
And where's the fun in that?
Well, I'm assuming he tried.
The cable thing too.
I'm assuming Cable tried because he said I'm too late, which means he's done this before.
Perhaps.
I don't think that was the first time he visited that moment in time.
But he's not a very good time traveler. No. Look what he did with Deadpool. Like he was stuck there. I got one more trip.
I hate
he's not good at this.
You know what drives me nuts? When people come back from time and give these vague things, they can't tell you straight. Oh my God, turn off the lights. Listen. A giant sentinel is going to show up in a few minutes and murder everyone. You need to leave. That's it. I could get that out in 15 seconds. No. Shut the lights off. You don't understand.
Man, if time travel ever exists, I'm gonna travel back to Jimmy and give him the most vague advice.
Can I one more thing?
Know the distance and then leave.
Yes. One more thing. Real quick, go to episode 3, Sinister. They're in the room before everything comes alive, right?
Yeah.
You had that bear. Remember that little bear? That looked like the same bear from Deadpool that he carried around that he gave to his kid. Was that his bear?
Perhaps I don't
Deadpool
know.
Runs with Cable. You know what?
Yeah.
Did you rewatch all this today?
You know I did.
You know what? I actually rewatched the action sequence, but I had my headphones on. And let me tell you though, Jimmy, you have to watch it.
I only
watch sound.
I'm gonna watch.
No. You're gonna be like, man, Charlie was 100% right. The sound, it's gonna change your experience. It's kind of like when Pat watched that episode of. What was it? Star Wars in Japanese.
Star Wars Visions.
Visions Japanese.
In Japanese. No subtitles.
Yes. And then realize it wasn't just a writer thing. You just had to switch the button.
I thought it was a creative choice.
Yeah, it's nice, yeah. You know?
Yeah. So I think, Jimmy, you're going to come back. You're going to rewatch it and be like, oh, wow, this is actually even better than I thought it was. Yeah,
second time through was better. And the first time was good, but the second time through was
And next
better.
Time you watch it, look for the watcher.
I'm going to look for the watcher. And I'm going to verify that. That's his bear. I'm telling you. It's his bear.
We have a lot to take care of, guys. All right. This has been our emergency podcast.
Worthy of an emergency. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, because we all agree this was great. This was
Kenosha emergency. There's a big emergency.
Yes.
All right, for Mr. G, Mr. McDonald, and Eddie, the Man of a Thousand Shows, I am Mr. Richardson. And I included you in. I didn't even say as our guest. You see how I just put you in the group?
I'm in.
I'm not messing around. You can just
wait. Did we just form Voltron?
We need a fifth.
We need a fifth.
Right now we need a head.
With two legs and two arms, or a torso and like one legged. I don't know.
I would be the Black Lion. I'm sorry.
What? That's being a little.
I want to be the head.
Two on the nose.
That was my favorite guy. He was.
I'm the Green Lion.
I know that two on the nose. I missed that. Yeah, that's true. All right. Race joke aside. Mr. G, Mr. McDonald, Mr. Eddie, the Man of a Thousand Shows. I am Mr. Richardson. Thank you all for joining us. And we'll talk to you next time.